The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to MilSpouse Matters, the podcast dedicated to encouraging military spouses. I'm your host, Jen McDonald, and I was a military spouse for nearly 30 years until my husband's retirement. I'm now the mom of four young adults, including one active duty son. I also wrote the book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse. Through my experiences, I came to believe that we're only stronger together. Whatever life is throwing your way as a military spouse, let's talk about it. So hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 63. This is your friend Jen, and I am so glad you're joining me today. I am really excited to bring you today's guest, and I will tell you a little bit more about him in just a moment. But first, just a reminder to subscribe and share the podcast so that it gets in front of more listeners. You can always find the show archive, all the notes, past episodes, and resources, and easy buttons to subscribe in whatever podcast player you're using right at milspousematters.com. Everything we talk about today will be linked in today's show notes. Just make sure to go there to see everything we talk about today. This month is April, and it's the month of the military child, and I have been sharing resources on social media for the past couple of weeks and will continue to do so throughout the rest of April. And I hope you have checked out the last episode where I gave a pretty exhaustive list of resources for military kids. Tons there, including books, articles, all kinds of resources. So make sure and take a look at that if you haven't yet. And keep watching out. I'm going to keep shouting out some companies and people that are doing amazing things for our military kids, especially on Instagram at MilSpouseMatters. So today I am so honored to be talking to Trevor Romaine of the Comfort Crew for Military Kids. And he has just done incredible work with kids all around the world, with military kids through the Comfort Crew and the With You All the Way tour, with the Comfort Kit Requests. And also you can learn more about his books and other resources at the Trevor Romaine Company, which is trevorromaine.com. And I will link to all of those places. You can find him on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And you can find him in all those places with the Comfort Crew or the Trevor Romaine Company. A couple things I wanted to mention. The Comfort Crew is having their virtual fun run in honor of the Month of the Military Child, which is happening now through April 30th, 2021. And you can learn more about that at comfortcrew.org. His latest book published is called Connecting with Kids in a Disconnected World, and he shares insights of over 30 years of working with children. Highly recommend that. And then on April the 30th at 6 p.m., he is co-hosting a show with Jennifer Ettinger on Talk Shop Live about the popular Memory Box and Cuzzy for an exclusive price. So make sure and connect with that if you are interested. So the Comfort Crew is best known for their comfort kits that is designed for school-aged children, and they address specific challenges and transitions associated with growing up in a military family, being separated due to deployments, reconnecting after a time of separation, having a parent return with a visible or invisible injury, or experiencing grief over the loss of a family member. So you can request one of those free. Sometimes there is a waiting list, and they also can always use support from donors. So make sure and check that out. On his site, the Trevor Romaine Company, he offers movies, books, artwork, apparel, all sorts of things, posters, journals. And right now, he is offering listeners 15% off store-wide at checkout using the code MILSPOUSE, M-I-L-S-P-O-U-S-E. And that covers all the products I mentioned and more. So if you are looking to purchase something from Trevor Romaine Company, be sure to use that code. So just, we had discussed it, and I just want to make sure there was no confusion over the two different entities. One is his company, and then one is a nonprofit. And the nonprofit, there is no charge. So just wanted to make sure that that was clear. So without any further ado, let's just jump right into the talk with Trevor. I really think you're going to get so much out of it. He is just a wealth of resources for military families and is giving us some tips about helping our kids cope with a lot of the challenges they face, talking to kids, some of his favorite stories of his work with kids. So I really think that you're going to enjoy it, and I can't wait to hear what you guys think. So let's just jump right into my talk with Trevor. Thanks for listening. So hello, everyone. Today, I am speaking with Trevor Romaine, and he is a best-selling author, illustrator, and keynote speaker who was born in Johannesburg, South Africa, and he now lives in Hawaii. He hosted a popular television series that has been featured on a number of PBS stations. His books have sold more than a million copies worldwide and have been published in 22 different languages. Today, he serves as the president and co-founder of the Trevor Romaine Company and is the co-founder of the 501c3 charity, The Comfort Crew for Military Kids. You can connect with Trevor on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, both as Trevor Romaine and also The Comfort Crew for Military Kids. And I will, for sure, share all those links. So welcome to the MilSpouse Matters podcast, Trevor. I'm so glad to be talking with you today.
Thank you so much. I am really happy to be here. I sound like quite an interesting guy. I can't wait to hear what I've got to say for myself.
You are very interesting, I think. And I was telling you, I was talking to Trevor before we started recording, and my own kids were positively affected by Trevor and the Comfort Crew during their dad's deployments, and in fact heard you speak at Ramstein Air Base in Germany. So I am kind of fangirling a little bit because I am so appreciative of what you've done, not just for my military kids who are now adults, but also military kids and families all over the world. You've just made such a huge, huge impact.
Oh, thank you so much. It's you know, I'll say that in English. You can hear that I sound like I'm an American by choice. Uh-huh. And I chose to be an American. And for me to be able to give back to this amazing country is something that I'm able to do through the Comfort Crew and through helping military kids. And it's such a pleasure and an honor for me to serve in this way, this amazing country that we live in.
I don't think we can thank you enough because you've had such a positive impact. And I do think probably many of my listeners will be familiar with your work with the Comfort Crew. And some of those who aren't, I'm probably just hearing about it for the first time. So could you tell us a little bit about how it began and your motivation for starting it?
Absolutely. So I used to travel around visiting schools as an author, because that's what my career was. Started writing and illustrating children's books, and I did a lot of silly books like How to Do Homework Without Throwing Up and Bullying is a Pain in the Brain. And I started then, you know, sort of focusing on books that people would sort of publishers turned away from because they thought that people wouldn't want them. And one of them was What on Earth Do You Do When Somebody Dies? Mm. And after I created that book, I got so many letters from people saying, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the book. And a number of them came from people in the military who had lost somebody and didn't know how to tell their kids. And they started using the book. Through that, I created a comfort kit, which a grief kit. Which had the book in it and a DVD we did from an animated TV series I did on PBS. And we started getting a lot of traction. And I did have a foundation at that time that was working mainly with children struggling with childhood cancer. And I started seeing that there was such a need, definitely in our U.S. military. And then a number of years ago, I volunteered. I happened to be in a meeting, actually in San Antonio, where you are, with the USO. One of the guys from Clear Channel, who was the president at that time, was part of the USO. And I said, what's the USO? And he said, oh, well, take care of military families. And I said, so who talks to the kids? Mm. And he goes, well, Sesame Street speaks to the little ones, but nobody really. And I said, I'll volunteer. Oh, so wow. He said, sure. And he wrote down my name. And 6 weeks later, he said, do you want to go to Ramstein? I said, where's that? He goes, Germany. I said, sure. So I landed up doing that tour, and we've now spoken to 500,000 military kids around the world in 16 countries. We've been to every base on the world that has kids, Bahrain, Spain, Azores, everywhere. So we decided to turn the foundation I had into a military-specific foundation. And the little characters I drew in my books, I called them the comfort crew, because they comforted kids who were going through trauma and struggling. And so we thought, comfort crew for military kids. So we created that. Rhonda Englander was the person who started with me. Unfortunately, she passed away last year. But we she lives on in spirit, and we work with her in our hearts, helping military kids.
Yeah. And I was so sorry to hear of her passing last year. So I did want to take a moment to honor her, because I know that she was your co-founder, correct?
Yes, we co-founded it together, and she was a Gold Star child.
Yes.
Rhonda's dad didn't make it back from Vietnam. And, you know, basically what happened was the family, just the photographs of her dad disappeared because she was very little, and nobody ever spoke about it. She didn't even know, she knew her father had passed away, but she didn't even know it was in Vietnam. And wow. Only after we started doing our grief kits did she start grieving for her dad. Oh. And through her grief, we realized that how important this mission of ours is to help military kids. And so she put her heart and soul into it, and unfortunately got a very aggressive cancer and died very shortly after that. A very healthy person, and loved this work and loved the comfort crew.
Yes, so, and she did amazing things too.
Yeah, she was awesome.
I'm sure she's so missed. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. But I hear that voice on my shoulder, because, you know, she was always the voice of reason, and I'm the delinquent. You always have to have that in a relationship, you know? And so
it was a good working relationship.
Absolutely. I hear her loud and clear.
That's great. I love that. Well, and I had forgotten about that you do the drawing as well. You're so talented. And I'm trying to remember your show on PBS. Was it a drawing show or something to do with?
Basically, what it was, it was animation. So I'm in real life, and I draw characters that come to life, and then they have problems. Where the one character's grandma died, so we went and tried to figure out what a funeral was and what have you. One of them, a kid's brother got deployed, so we went to try and understand deployment. So basically, I'm the only real live person in the show, except in real life, I'm actually quite animated. So it flipped, and it was really a wonderful experience doing that. And it still plays occasionally on different PBS channels. It's just called The Trevor Romaine Show, just after my name.
I feel like one of my children watched that. I just suddenly had this flashback. Yeah, because I have drawing kids that love that kind of thing.
And if they did get any kind of deployment kit that we gave out, there was a video in there with our characters, Jack and Sky, who are animated and part of the series.
Okay. Yes, they did. We had the whole little box kit.
That's it.
Well, speaking of some of the programs Comfort Crew offers, I know you mentioned speaking, but what else is offered? Like, how can military families connect and find out what you guys offer them?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that there is no charge for military families for any of our programs. We raise the funds to be able to do that. We don't want anybody to have to pay for anything. We've got quite a long waiting list for deployment, because a lot of people still going through deployments. Mm-hmm. But we have these kits that we help families with. There's the deployment kit. There's a reintegration kit. Mm. We have so many different resources, and those can all be found on our website, which I will give you. It's actually quite easy, you know, comfortcrew.org. But there are various ways that people can get hold of them. We do have, like, we're having a fun run now during the month of the military child.
Yes.
Where people are doing it virtually, so they're catching up on their running and doing it for a good cause.
And that's through the end of April.
That's through the end of April. Yeah, and then we also, part of the Comfort Crew is the school tours that we do, where I'll go and, as I mentioned earlier, visit schools and I do, it's almost stand-up education, where I do, it's a humorous way of looking at serious issues to be able to make it more palatable for the kids.
And I think you're downplaying it a little bit because I think you are a very gifted speaker. I'm just going to throw that in there. Well, very engaging.
Well, thank you. I've been practicing for a long time. But what I did find out is that when children are struggling, and people who have never been in the military, and I was in the military myself, I was in the army, so I've had the experience of being deployed and I've had the experience of being away from home. But people who are not in the military don't realize how difficult it is on a family and especially on children. You know, the moving every 2 or 3 years in itself is one of the most traumatic things. Then you have somebody deployed. Then that person comes back from deployment and the child has grown and matured in a year. Yeah. And they're not the same child when the person who was deployed left. So we try to help kids and families deal with all of these kind of situations, but do it with warmth and, you know, do it with empathy because as, you know, Brené Brown says, there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. And we've got to, you know, have our kids be empathetic. And one of the things that I've learned over the years too, is that even as if a child is in pain or if a child is traumatized or sad, if they are kind to another child, it gives their life more value. Mm-hmm. And it makes them feel better about who they are, because it's so easy to get caught in that cycle of being the person who is a victim because of what's going on in your family, as opposed to saying, you know what, okay, this is not very nice, but what can I do about it? So managing the things you can do instead of complaining about the things you can't.
Yes.
And that's all we do through our books and videos and stuff for kids, Comfort Group.
It's such a gift. And I'm telling you, listeners, if you have not checked them out, you need to, because it really does meet them right where they are. And it acknowledges how hard it is, like you said, but it doesn't leave them there. And it's, you can laugh about it and you can cry about it. And it's just such a unique program. Like, I can't say enough about it. In fact, as you know, as my husband stayed in and I would help with these spouses programs and conferences, we would usually have somebody from Comfort Crew either send us boxes or come in and speak to spouses, to new spouses, and then to our senior spouses, just to let them know about it, because we just believed in it so much. So I can't overstate like what an amazing thing it is that you guys are doing.
Thank you very much. And we are really proud of the work that Comfort Crew does.
Yes. And sometimes there is a waiting list. Is that kind of a typical thing or?
Yeah, well, you know, because we don't charge military families for it, we get funding from various sources, and you know, sometimes we're in a situation where, like in the Navy, if a ship is leaving, you know, sometimes there's 3,000 people being deployed at one time,
right?
And they will, you know, ask for the kit. So we are working as fast and as hard as we can to be able to get everybody who needs a kit one. And, you know, we've been around for 11, 12 years, something like that. We've got some fantastic support. You know, we've got some great patrons who've been very supportive, supportful, you know, things like the Wounded Warrior Project, the USAA Foundation, Veterans United Foundation, and even just individuals. That's where we get our funding from to be able to supply the materials.
Yeah. So going back to when you first started and you went to that first base in Germany, what year was that? Just curious.
Oh my goodness me. I think that was probably 14 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
Or so 15 years ago.
I thought, wouldn't it be crazy if that was when my kids saw you? Because we were there in 2000, I believe it was 2009. So you would have already had started up by then. But I was thinking that would have been.
We've been back to Germany, and you know, I know Langstuhl too well, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, yes.
it's been I mean, we even went to Turkey when there were families at Enzelik. I don't think they have them there anymore, but
you really have been around.
Bahrain,
Well, as you've traveled and spoken to all these kids around the world, I would love to hear a story or two maybe that you would be willing to share with us, some of your favorite interactions with military kids.
Sure, we're happy to share some. One of the things that is really important that we like to provide for kids is the ability for them to express what they're feeling. Because in speaking to military kids and having been in this business for so many years, most of the time, kids don't want to worry parents, or they don't know how to talk to them about what they're feeling, so that they keep it in. And that's when trouble starts, because not being able to express what you're feeling causes depression, it causes anger, it causes frustration. And so one of the things that we supply in our kits is a journal with prompts in it.
Yeah.
And I created these little drawings and this fun journal where you can write down exactly what you're feeling without being judged, without, you know, people giving you any trouble for it. And so I was at a school one day, and I tell you the truth, I can't remember where it was because I've been to so many schools, but it was a school that was predominantly military kids. And I gave the kids their journals and explained to them how I keep a journal, even though I'm an old dude. I tell the kids, first of all, I'm a 14-year-old trapped in an older guy's body. That's why I'm immature. And I always tell kids, don't wait for grown-ups to change the world. They take too long and they have too many meetings. So I invite them to share their feelings in their journal. And I got a wonderful email from a little girl whose name was Delissa. And the email said, "Dear Mr. Trevor, I wrote my feelings in my journal." And she was 9. "I wrote my feelings in my journal like you told me when my daddy was deployed. When my daddy came back, I showed him my journal and he read what my feelings were, and my daddy started to cry. Mm-hmm. When my daddy started to cry, that's when I knew my daddy got his feelings back.
Oh.
And when my daddy got his feelings back, that's when I knew I got my daddy back."
Oh, I'm just going to make me cry.
So just giving that child permission and an avenue to express what she was feeling very sincerely and honestly without any, you know, pushing other than the little prompts in the journal connected that family.
Mm-hmm.
And who would have thought that a little girl writing down her feelings would allow her father to release whatever he had brought back with him that was closing him and keeping him disconnected. And so that was that for me has always been a treasured email that I got. And another story, another short one, which also just demonstrates how sometimes just giving kids something to anchor onto gives them, you know, the confidence to be able to go through tough times sometimes. So I, for years and years, have been drawing, doodling on little stones. I started doing that years ago when I would visit orphanages, and you can't give everybody money, but I would draw these little hope stones. And if somebody looked like they really needed something to hold on to, I would give them these hope stones. I still continue to draw them when I'm sitting on a plane or when I'm bored or something. I'll draw a little stone, just these little, you know, those little river stones that are smooth that you can paint on. So I happened to be traveling, and I believe it was in Germany. And it was a military base that's now closed, recently closed in the last 3 or 4 years. But so I was there, and there was a little girl who came up to me, and her her dad had passed away, I believe, and not from being in the military, but her mom was in the military, and this little girl was having a really tough time. And after my presentations, these kids always come up afterwards, because they want to share their stories, and I share some of my stories and let them know that I'm a dyslexic who's ADD, but yet I've written 50 books in 22 different languages and a million copies in print and yada, yada. And if this knucklehead can do it, then anybody can, right? And so this little girl came up afterwards, and she just wanted a hug. That's all. I think she just wanted me to know. She wanted to comfort me from the stuff I was sharing about my life. And she was also little. She was this little girl with little pigtails and little round glasses. And I mean, she couldn't have been more than 8 years old, maybe 10, 8 to 10. And so we were talking, and she was so sincere. She poured her heart out to me. And she told me that she sometimes feels lost. She will wake up and she just really doesn't feel connected to anything. So I happened to have a stone in my pocket. So I gave her the little stone. I said, "This is a hope stone. Hold on to it. And those times that you're feeling sad or lonely, you know, just imagine, hold on to it and just feel connected to your dad," because she was talking about her dad who'd passed away. And I said, you know, I do that with my dog tags. When I was deployed, I gave my dad my dog tags instead of wearing them. And when I came back, he gave them back to me. And now that he's passed away, I hold on to my dog tags whenever I feel like I miss my dad. And it connects me to him immediately. So she was really happy with this and gave her the little stone. And off she skipped. And 3 years later, I believe we were in Belgium or something. I don't know, we were in another country or in the US at a base. And I'm speaking at the school. And when I'm finished my talk, I see the principal is standing off to the side and she's crying. And I'm like, I looked at her and I thought, oh no, did I say something that maybe touched her? Or anyway, she says, there's somebody who wants to speak to you. And I turned around and the streak of white clothing comes out of through the door and launches itself at me. And it was that same little girl that had given the stone two or three years before, I can't remember exactly, but and the principal said, it gets better. That little girl didn't know I was coming that day. She said she needed to go. So she disappeared and she comes back and she had a tissue, just a Kleenex, and she said, look, and she opened it up and inside the Kleenex was that stone.
Oh, wow.
It was completely around the edges where she had held it. All the paint had come off, but apparently she keeps it in her book bag every single day, and she didn't know I was coming.
Oh, wow.
So she brought it to me. So, sometimes the smallest things can make the biggest difference, and we have to realize that with children. It is sometimes they're just asking for something to connect to, and that's why we have the physical kits that we give out to kids, because we want them to have something tangible that helps them deal with what they're going through.
Yes, that's such an amazing impact. And wow, I don't know, like, what do you even do with that? I probably would have started just crying. You must have really great control.
I have great control until I get in the car and we're driving back to whatever Hilton Garden Inn we stay at. And I just let loose. I bawl my eyes out. And I have to do that for my own sanity and because if I am carrying everybody's weight, then I can't be a good caregiver for those, because you tend to dump stuff from somebody else on the next person. So I do a little ritual. I always, when I'm finished a talk, I will or finished visiting a hospital. I work a lot with children in an orphanage in South Africa. I go there every year for a month and spend time with kids. But I wash my hands under very warm water and I just say a little prayer just to, for me to pass on what I'm carrying to the powers that be and say, please, can you carry this for me? I can't carry it. And
yeah, it's too heavy.
I go on with my business.
Wow. Well, and speaking of kids that are disconnected, you have such a wealth of knowledge from your experiences and decades of working with kids. And I hear a lot from parents. I get notes all the time from military parents asking for advice about their kids and just kind of helping them cope with all the changes, not even necessarily just deployments for sure, but just moving and being the new kid. And you have put a lot of thought into your book, The Connecting with Kids in a Disconnected World. And we will link to that. And definitely listeners should check that out. But I would love for you to just take a moment, maybe pick your brain just for a minute, to give some tips to parents or other family members who are trying to help military kids cope with the stresses of military life. Maybe a few pointers of things we can do right and things that we should avoid doing. Like, I know that you kind of have this view as an observer that maybe you can see things a little bit more clearly than those of us that are right in the thick of it with our kids.
Oh, absolutely. There are three things that I share a lot with parents, and I'll just go through those. The first thing is, we need to listen to what kids are asking for instead of telling them what we think they need to hear. Because so often I hear parents, what do they say to kids? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. By telling a child it's going to be okay, that doesn't solve the problem internally for the child. It actually alienates them because they feel like, oh, this person is just brushing it aside. And it's not helping them work through it. So, listening to what the kids are asking for, because sometimes they don't know how to ask it directly. And, sometimes acting out is actually asking somebody to listen.
Right.
And so that's, I think that's really important. Number two is to validate what the child is feeling. Because by validating what they are feeling, we are letting them know that we hear what is going on with them, that we understand. And, you know, we don't want to say things like, oh, I know exactly how you feel, because we don't. To be able to say, you know, I've had an experience very similar when I was young. So to be able to validate, and I always share with parents, if you share a story that happened to you when you were a child that is similar, then you are showing empathy instead of just trying to manage whatever the child's discomfort trauma is. You are then becoming a team member to say, whoa, I have been there. Let's possibly work this together. And I can give you a really good example of how validation can immediately bring relief to a child. So I been very lucky. I got to travel around Africa with the United Nations, working in refugee camps and orphanages. And a number of years ago, I got to go with the United Nations detail to go to Uganda, Burundi, and Rwanda to work with former child soldiers. And what I do there is help them use creativity to express themselves, because they've been through obviously a lot more than we'll ever go through in our lives, but giving them some tools and some permission to express themselves. And we walked into this refugee camp, and what happens is the kids come running to hold your hand when you are a visitor to any one of these camps. They need skin. There are many, many, many kids. There were over 1,000 kids in this particular refugee camp, not very many adults. Most of these kids were orphaned in Rwanda, and they come and they hold your hands. And for me, I love it. Bring it on. Mm-hmm. They want skin. I got lots. So I hold on to them. But this one little boy, he put his finger through my belt loop. And I thought, oh, that's cool. The other kids are all fighting for my hand. This little smart kid's got his finger through the belt loop. He knows how to hang on. And just then one of the workers came with a rolled up newspaper, and he started swatting the kids, not hard, but just told them to go away and leave us in peace. He said, go back. You got to go back to your whatever they were doing. And he was sort of patting this little guy who on my belt loop on the head with a paper. And I said, no, it's okay. He can stay. I really don't mind. He says, are you sure? I said, sure. No problem. So this little guy walked around that day with his finger in my belt loop. We went to meetings. This little dude just stood next to me. He couldn't be more than 5 years old. He stood next to me. I'm drawing on the chalkboard, doing some drawings for the kids. He's looking at them and he's holding on the belt loop. So about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, through a translator and through hand signals and through a little bit of French and English, he said he needs to ask me a question. So I kneeled down to find out what his question was. I said, sure. And this is something I share with parents as well, is if you are having a serious conversation with a child, kneel down to their level. Yeah. Because that actually gives them balance. Because if you're looming over a child and you're asking them to tell them what's worrying them, it's such the balance is so uncomfortable that sometimes it's just overwhelming. So I went down to the child's level and I looked him straight in the eye and I said, what's your question? And he says to me, now these kids were all orphaned. Their parents were all killed, as I said, in Rwanda. And he says to me, can you help me find my mommy? I was about to answer him when one of the workers ran over and he put up his hand and he said, I told you, we're going to find all your mummies one day. You must be patient. And I put up my hand and I said to him, whoa, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
And I got closer to the little boy and I said to him, hey, buddy, where do you think your mommy is? He said, oh, she died. She's in heaven. I said, oh, you know what? My dad is there too. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Tonight when I say my prayers, I'm going to pass on a message to my dad to please tell your mommy that you love her and that you miss her and you will never, ever forget her. Okay? He was so thrilled. This little boy ran and threw his arms around me and it was unbelievable. And all he needed was validation to where he was, not people to lie to him or try and fix it for him. And by allowing him to share with safety and comfort what was going on with him. We were able to give him some relief and to be able to make that little boy heard. Mm-hmm. And that was just you know, validating his feelings instead of trying to fix them just with empty words.
Oh, and that's just such a natural reaction, is we want to fix it. And I think it's that whole, like, don't cry. You know, a lot of us heard growing up, don't cry or stop crying.
Yeah, stop crying. Yeah. Well, the third thing on that list, you know, to listen to what kids are asking for, validate. And the third one, which is vitally important, is to make space and time for these kind of interactions without a phone. You know, we are asking kids, we're driving to school. They are sitting behind us 2 minutes before school. We say, so how's your life going? You know, or while we're texting, you know, we're asking kids questions. My dad did something amazing for me. On Wednesday nights, he and I would go and have coffee. I had hot chocolate. My brother was on Tuesdays. And my dad, we would sit and chat. It was special time for us. And he would say to me things like, hey, Trev, you know, mom and I had a fight the other day. I'm so sorry. I'm really embarrassed that we fought in front of you. It was really silly and it was so disrespectful. I'm sorry we did that. And then in the same breath, he's asking me for forgiveness. He says, so listen, I'm getting a bonus at the end of this year. Do you think we should go on vacation, or do you think we should build that playroom, you know, that you guys have been talking about? And I was blown away because my dad was asking me for advice.
Oh,
and,
I love that.
And then what happened was, he said, so what's going on in your life? I told him everything. Every time, till the day my dad died, I told him everything, good and bad. Mm. When I made a mistake, when I was ashamed of something or embarrassed about something, he was the first guy I told, because he made that channel available for me to connect with him. He made that space and created a safe space for me to feel comfortable about sharing with him things that I probably would never have shared unless it was in that created forum that he made available to me.
I love that.
It was great.
It's just making that time.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Because just by making the time, you're already saying, I'm interested.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could talk to you all day. I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I love these stories and I really hope that it will give listeners something to take and use in their own lives. And we talked a little bit about where they can connect with you. And you said it's comfortcrew.org.
Yeah. It's comfortcrew.org. And on that website, you can, there's little buttons you can go to where you can request resources for anybody out there who is in a military family. You can go and request the resources there. It also can show you how to volunteer if you want to with our organization, or there's place for donations. And if there's anybody who's involved with companies who do sometimes decide to do things like donate to a particular cause Christmas time or something, that would be awesome. I also wanted to say, on behalf of the Comfort Crew, just to all the military families out there, we salute you and we thank you for your service. And if any kids happen to be listening, we want to thank them for their service, because they were conscripted. Military kids didn't sign up. Right. They got signed up for. So we really respect what families have to go through so that we can live in peace in our country. So thank you all for the incredible and very difficult and sometimes unregistered work, where people don't register what you're doing in their daily lives. So that's a big thank you from us.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And we will list all the places you can connect with Trevor, where you can connect with the Comfort Crew for military kids. They are giving a special offer right now that you can save 15% store-wide at checkout using the code MILSPOUSE. So that's books, DVDs, digital downloads, posters, and journals. And that is on your site, correct?
Yes, yes. I want to qualify that that's not our nonprofit.
The nonprofit is free.
That's my yes, it's free. And the other side is where we sell our books and DVDs and that kind of stuff.
Yes, and I will absolutely make that very clear in the show notes for sure.
Yes.
So was there anything else you wanted to add before we close?
I wanted to thank you for the work you're doing, because a lot of people don't realize it's a lot of hard work, and and I just love what you are doing to keep people connected and keep MILSPOUSES, you know, spoken about, which I think is so very important. So I appreciate that very much.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you so much for taking your time to come and share with military families. I just appreciate it so much, Trevor.
It's my pleasure completely. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for joining me today. And listeners, thank you for listening. And again, I will link to all the social media, all the places we talked about where you can connect with Trevor and Comfort Crew and get more information. And thanks for listening and have a wonderful week. Thanks for listening to the Mill Spouse Matters podcast. Connect with me at millspousematters.com or on social media as at Mill Spouse Matters. You can find my book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse, on Amazon and other booksellers. Love the show? Please leave a 5-star review in whatever podcast player you're listening, and then share it with someone else who could use it too. Until next time, have a great week.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.